Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. If you didn't, we'll put the words up on the screen, so don't worry about it. You've just heard three stories of conversion. Individuals whose lives and hearts have been changed. Each one unique and yet similar. The conversion stories of the Bible are very much the same. In fact, there's just one road to heaven. There's just one road to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, what? But by me. There's only one road to heaven, but there are many on-ramps. The on-ramps are the circumstances that bring us to Christ. And you heard several different on-ramps. And if you stick around for the next service, we're going to baptize three more individuals. And they experienced different on-ramps as well. But there's only one road, and that's Jesus Christ. So this morning, what I want to do, just for a few moments here, is go through the story of a man in Scripture. He's the Ethiopian eunuch. That's how he's called that in the Scripture. And in my estimation, no story in the New Testament conveys more of the aspects of what goes into somebody getting saved than this one. And I want to quickly move through 10. I know you're thinking, 10, how long are we going to be here? Don't worry about it. 10 aspects, okay, of how this guy came to know Christ as his Savior. And the first thing I want you to notice is there's a message from God. We're picking it up all the way down to verse 26 where it says, and the angel of the Lord, and we're just going to read the whole story and then we'll just go back to it. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And he arose and went. We'll stop there. There's a message from God. I want you to note that the place Philip is told to go to is called a desert. It's a desert. The angel speaks to him, and he just goes. I can remember when God called me to go to a little church in northern Iowa. And I can remember thinking, there's nothing up there. I mean, it was a little tiny town, just a bunch of farmers. I mean, it's desert. But that the word of God to me from the Bible itself was so clear. It wasn't a matter of whether I would do it. I just needed to go. But there had to be a message from God. And I knew after I got there that this would be the place where God would lead me, where I would develop and learn how to lead people to Jesus. So when somebody comes to Christ, there's always a message from God to somebody else to go to you. And then there's a man of God. In this case, it's Philip. And he's just sort of mentioned there. He spoke to Philip. Philip doesn't get a lot of airtime. He sort of comes and he goes. He's a faithful preacher of the gospel, both to crowds and to individuals like this one right here, this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's interesting to me because he's an on-ramp. But if you drive up and down the interstate, if you look carefully, you'll see places that used to be on-ramps. You ever seen that? You'll see, oh, that must have been an on-ramp over there, not being used anymore. And if you just drive north of Ankeny, you'll find a brand new on-ramp. That's the way God's men have been down through the centuries. They're like on-ramps. They come and they go. They're there for a time, and then God just sort of takes them off the scene. That's the way it'll be for me someday. That's the way it'll be for every preacher of the gospel. God's men come and go, but his message never changes. Never changes. And then there's direction from God. Now, notice what he says here. He says, just, I want you to go down to Gaza. It's a desert place. Just go. He doesn't tell Philip what he's going to encounter. He just tells him to go, and Philip obeys. Again, going back to my first call, I remember thinking, there's nothing up here. It's a desert. But I was reading in the Bible. I read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 about the life of Abraham. It says, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever read that? I read that on the day that I was sitting there wondering, what, God, what do you want me to do about this? Do you want me to go up to this desert area? And God said, go. I didn't even know. I mean, I sort of knew what I was doing. I hadn't met anybody at the time that I would meet hundreds of people. And by the grace of God, many lives would be changed by just a step of obedience. There's a message, there's a man, there's direction from God. All of these things are sort of the on-ramps that go into a person getting saved. Somebody is obeying God. And by the way, to you who are saved, to those of you who are here who know Christ as your Savior, consider all the many ways and people God has used to get you to where you're at right now. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to consider this. Right now, God has created all kinds of situations, brought all kinds of people into your life, directed them, just to bring you to this moment right here. You're part of God's direction. This is no mistake that you're here. Now, the next thing I see here, there's a prospect. This is where it gets really interesting, the prospect here. Look at verse 27, it says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge over all her treasury. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning. So he's already been to Jerusalem. He's making about 1,200-mile trek back down into Africa. He's only got about 50, 60 miles away from Jerusalem. He's down in Gaza, where modern-day Gaza, where, you know, nothing grows there but rocks. And this is the desert area where Philip has been told to go. But he's the prospect. Philip didn't know it. And what do we know about this guy? Well, we're told he's an Ethiopian, so we know he's probably a black man. He's a eunuch. Let's just put it this way. He has been radically changed. This man, his manhood has been taken away from him. Literally. He will never, ever be able to enjoy the joys of marriage or fatherhood. He is so radically dedicated to the queen down there in Africa that his whole life has been given over to her. I want you to remember that and let that just sort of soak in for a moment, if you would. So, you might be thinking, well, I've been a name your religion all of your life. You know, I'm radically dedicated to this. Let me tell you something. Nobody in the Bible was more radically dedicated to his cause than this dude right here. But he is Philip's prospect. And then there's the word of God. Philip has to be wondering, you know, what makes this guy a prospect? He's an important man. He's a treasure. He probably has an entourage all around him. He's in a chariot. We're not told if it's a classic chariot with the wheels, you know, or it's possible that it's a four-man chariot, you know, with the bars, you know, he's being carried atop. It's more likely that's what it was. Otherwise, how would Philip catch up with it? At any rate, there's a lot of people around this guy. And he's the prospect. And God tells Philip, well, let's look. He says in verse 28, and he's sitting, this is the eunuch, in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. By the way, people didn't just go out and buy Bibles at bookstores in those days. For him to have a scroll of Isaiah meant that he was a really wealthy guy. He's reading from Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit, let's stop there, verse 20. The Word of God, that's Isaiah. He's a Jewish proselyte, and he's reading from the Old Testament. We'll see what it was here in just a moment. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that faith, the faith you heard about, the conversion experience you just heard about, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or by the message of Christ. You will never be converted unless you listen to what this book has to say. That's why Jesus once said, he who is of God hears God's words. Have you ever read that? Are you listening to God's words this morning? Because that will be the on-ramp that will bring you to the one road to heaven, is the Word of God. You got a man of God, you got the Word of God, and you've got the Spirit of God. Verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake the chariot. Whenever somebody is about to get saved, the Holy Spirit gets really involved. He's directed Philip right to this man. And very soon he'll be working on this man as well. The Holy Spirit of God is God himself in the person of the Spirit who authored this book. Yes, he used men, but he guided them perfectly. He's also the individual who will be speaking to some of your hearts this morning and pointing out the fact that you, like these three converts here, are a sinner and you desperately need God's forgiveness. The Holy Spirit's the one who makes all that very, very clear to us. So there's the Spirit of God. And he's directing, he's speaking. He's been speaking to the eunuch. The eunuch is reading the Bible, the Spirit of God is working on him, and maybe he'll be working on you. Maybe he is working on you already. And then this is where it gets very personal. There is openness. There is openness to God. Whenever there's a conversion, there has to be openness. And this is where I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you open? Are you here just as a spectator? Or are you here as one, not just as a witness, but one that says, man, I need to know about this. Look what happened. Look at verse 31. Well, verse 30, Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, unless somebody guides me? Philip asked him to come, and then he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shear, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. This is Isaiah chapter 53, written 700 years before Jesus ever came to this world. Keep that in mind. The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other? Would you describe yourself as open this morning? Would you? I know that when I know when I'm talking to somebody about Jesus, I know if they're open. You want to know how I know that they're open? I know that they're open when they invite me into their chariot. When they invite me to make a phone call, meet them for coffee, come to their home. When they invite me into their chariot, then I know they're open. Are you open today? You say, well, how do I know? You know, how do I know? How do I know if I'm open? Well, one thing you could ask yourself is, do you have questions? This guy had questions. Did you notice that? He's asking all kinds of questions. Who's he talking about? Do you understand what you're reading? How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? That sounds like a humble man, doesn't it? Humble people ask questions. I was in a Bible study a long time ago, but I was in a Bible study, and my wife invited this woman that she worked with, and the woman was really open. But she said, you got to meet my husband. My husband, he's the smartest guy I've ever met. He knows the Bible frontwards and backwards. He knows Scripture better than you do. And I was a brand new Christian at the time, so that kind of intimidated me. I'm going to bring him to this Bible study. He'll be able to teach you a few things. Okay. And she brought him the next week. And so, you know, I was nervous. I was a new Christian, and we were studying 1 Timothy. So I said, okay, well, everybody open your Bibles to 1 Timothy, and all the rest of the Bible study group opened their Bible to 1 Timothy, and here was this guy. His name was John. He was like this, and he was over here, and then he was over here, and it was painful. It took about a minute, and finally, I looked at him. I said, where are you at, John? And he looked up. He goes, I'm lost in Romans. And another guy in the Bible study said, that's a good place to be lost. He'd been humbled by the circumstances. If you want to know whether you're open for conversion, you'll have questions. You'll be humble. You don't have all the answers. Hey, guess what? Neither do I. But I do have the answer. I have the one, I know who the one is who is the road to salvation. And that's where we're going to come. The openness of this man would lead him to Christ. And that's the other aspect of conversion, the Son of God. Look what it says here. That at that point, it says, beginning at that scripture, verse 35, Philip preached who to him? He preached Jesus. In fact, the word preached is the word euangelion. Means he preached the gospel to him. He preached that Christ died for him, that he was buried for him, that he rose again for him, just like he did for you. And he listened to this. And by the way, if he preached at that scripture 700 years before Christ, that means the Old Testament was talking, foreshadowing Jesus all along, wasn't it? And so the Son of God has to be proclaimed if you're going to be converted. And the gospel of God, which of course is there in that word, preached. And when he gets done, they come to some water. And the eunuch says, well, now here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Apparently, in the presentation, Philip had laid it all out. And laid out what Christ had done. And God was now working very, very powerfully in his life. And with that, Philip says, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he responds, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to think about something for just a moment. This Ethiopian eunuch was already radically dedicated to a cause, wasn't he? I mean, we've already talked about that. He knew what baptism pictured. He knew that baptism was picturing radical identification, not to a cause, but to a person. And so for this guy to get baptized was to say, I am no longer radically dedicated to my queen. I might be dedicated to her, serving underneath her, but I am devoted to my king. And with all his heart, he placed his faith in Jesus, and he got baptized. And then there's the joy of God. The Bible says that with that, God just whisked Philip away to another place. And very simply, the text says, the eunuch went away what? Went away what, Olivia? Rejoicing. Just like we heard from Olivia. Did you hear that? Repeatedly. Nothing was greater than the joy that she received when she placed her faith in Jesus. There is no calculating the joy that you will receive. No matter what on-ramp you're on right now, you need to get on the one road that'll get you to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You'll be converted. All of these things go into the conversion of an individual. If you're here this morning and you've never truly from your heart acknowledged your sin and placed your faith in Jesus to be your Savior, then why don't you do so right now? Just like you heard from John, just like you heard from Olivia, just like you heard from Kyle. There are hundreds of on-ramps to salvation, but there's only one road, and that's Jesus Christ. Will you place your faith in him today? He died for you and rose again for you, as pictured in the baptismal tank. Would you place your faith in him today, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and be turned? With all your heart, trust him, and he'll save you. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to hear wonderful stories. I thank you for John's story, for Kyle and Olivia's story, and for taking them up their particular on-ramps. But all of them joined the one road to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the individuals here that are without Jesus, that today, if their heart has been moved, that with the eunuch, they would say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, from their hearts. Not to just make their life better, not to just sort of add Jesus to their God shelf like John had done earlier, but to truly trust him completely and be clothed in his righteousness. Friend, if that's you, and if that's what your heart is crying out right now to do, then just do it from your heart. God sees your heart. Just acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge you, as Kyle mentioned, you don't deserve to be saved, because you don't deserve to be saved. But believe in Jesus. Tell God that you believe that Jesus died in your place. Ask Christ to come into your life and save you right now from your heart. If that's your desire, just ask him to, and he will. Father, I pray that you would change the destinies, if you have not done so already, of individuals in our midst today. We pray in Jesus' name.